Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Ooh. All right, honky tongue.
Oh, sorry, I interrupted you. That got a bit of a shock. That was short and sharp, like a stubby sigh to start off with.
A bit of a blaster.
Yeah, short,
just
sharp
to
blast.
Try and get you rocking on your heels from the get-go.
From the get-go, it was meaty. Bit of a, like a, almost like a bit of like an aroma to it. Something like maybe Bovril drink mixed with lemon curd, you know?
Maybe so, Marmite.
Are
you sensing
maybe
some Marmite?
Power-wise, I reckon, I tell you what, you could easily dislodge the pepper from your pepper pot, you know, if it's stuck in the little holes. Short, sharp,
so
would be perfect for that.
If you need to.
If you needed to. Anyway, yes, thank you for calling me Honky Tonk. You, as always, have a choice. Would you like to be today?
Hit
you with Ramirez Tapestry. Thought that might appeal. Bit
nice. Evocative.
Yeah. Omelette Ron, straightforward, decent fella.
Good, yeah, yeah.
Mr. Date Rape, what you reckon?
Not so keen on that.
Not so keen, that surprises me. Gary from Admin.
No, I think I'm a bit above that sort of thing now.
Mr. Chin.
20 years ago, maybe, but not anymore.
Mr.
Not that I've got a podcast.
Mr. Chinstrap.
No, you're not. What was that first one again?
Well, it was it's slightly exotic one, Ramirez Tapestry.
Yeah, I think I'll go with that one.
All right, Ramirez.
All right.
Nice to see you.
Thanks, Honky Tonk. There's plenty of seat here today, but I've chosen to sit on the floor.
You do, right. Is it because of the weather or because of your...
It's just because that seems to be the thing people do at the minute.
Oh, I see. You're referring...
I'd say it was a political reference,
yeah.
A topical reference.
Well, I don't know what happened with that, Andy. I couldn't be bothered to find out. Am I right in thinking that he couldn't get a seat? That's basically what it's about, yeah?
That's what he's saying. So he sat on the floor like some kind of hippie.
Well, it happens to us all. The trains are packed. Was he making a point, was he?
I think that's what he was doing, yeah. But we'll talk about Corbyn a bit later on, because I've been to another rally this week.
Oh, have you?
I have. I'm getting really into him now.
What's your motivation, Andy? Are you following? Are you trying to find out whether you want to vote for him or you want to vote for?
Perhaps I'm doing a secret journalistic project on it all. You know, who knows? All will be revealed.
A bit like John Ronson, that kind of thing.
A bit like John Ronson, yeah, but with a bit more, you know.
What, a bit,
you know,
like,
you
bit
know, I'm
of a fatter,
not
fatter
it,
voice,
all,
a fatter
all
face,
all
that kind of thing.
Yeah, all right, then, John Ronson with a fatter face.
Hey, John Ronson with tits, and I would say pretty hot tits today. Again?
Yeah?
Yeah,
yeah, they're ripe for cooking.
Have you put some lint on them to try and absorb some of the sweat or anything?
I've just keep padding them down with some kitchen towel.
Nice. That cheap kitchen towel you get up the Asda, yeah?
Yeah, total waste of money. Absolute shite.
Well, I don't intend to sing a song at the end, so I'm going to sing one right at the beginning. Have a listen to this. See how this appeals to you, Andy. It's a lovely tune. Oh, he's from Uruguay, made the Macums all cry, that's Stuani. Do you like that?
Is that it?
It's nice, though, isn't it?
It's just very short.
Short and to the point, a bit like your little guff at the beginning. Is it a guff, your little outtake?
A mouth guff.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Oral guff. I wasn't really listening to the lyrics of your song because I was so mesmerised by the tune.
Oh, I'll do it again then. Oh, he's Christ. From Uruguay, made the Macums all cry, that's Stuani.
Yeah, well done.
Did you get it that time?
Yeah, very good.
Okay.
2-1, well done, well played.
Well, it's egg weather, isn't it? Definitely. It's nice and warm. What's the best egg, Andy? Boiled hard, hard-boiled, fried, poached? What's the best? Let's clear that up now.
For me, it's soft-boiled.
Soft-boiled, you're quite right.
Hard to get right, but when you do, oh.
What's your little recipe to get them right?
4 minutes. But then I add on the time it takes me to set the timer on my mobile phone for 4 minutes. And I also add on at the end the time it takes for me to amble towards the pan. Turn it off.
All right, so it's 4 minutes from boil, or do you put them into boiling water?
Boil the pan, then bang them in.
Then you bang them in, 4 minutes. Yeah.
Does the I don't bang them in, because they crack, wouldn't they?
Does the trick for you, though, Andy, yeah?
Do you have any methods?
Well, I mean, I'm extraordinary that you failed to mention the size of the egg. Do you know what I mean? Do you not take that into account, 4 minutes for any egg?
What I buy is, I buy the ones from Sainsbury's.
Right.
Because I'm not just an Asda man.
They wouldn't let you in Sainsbury's, don't they?
I buy the one from Sainsbury's that are mixed weights. They're cheaper. Yeah, they're not all large. They're not all medium. You don't know what you're getting. You might get an ostrich egg in there, or you might get a little cat egg.
Tell me, is this real? Because I'm enticed. Is this real? Mixed size eggs from Sainsbury's?
Yes.
Well, I'm going to check it out. And if you're wrong...
I'll tweet a picture of the box later on, because I bought some earlier on.
Thank you very much indeed.
I've got a song. Have you got a proper song? Was that your song?
Yeah, I've got a proper song. Yeah, I'll do it for you.
Do you want to do your proper song?
Okay. Oh, he's from Uruguay.
Oh, man!
The Macums all cry, that's Stuani. Yeah, you see? It's a proper song.
That's your proper song.
I do my eggs 3.5 minutes. I put them in the pan, and then as soon as they start boiling, I time 3 minutes, 15
That's
seconds.
Right.
That's works for me. Anyway, Andy, we better start this thing up, get it cranked up.
Can I do my song then? Because I want this to be an energetic podcast this week for a change.
Wait,
that's why I started with the blaster.
Go on then,
Right. I've got quite an energetic up.
Seems fucking early for a song. Well, go on then.
Song.
Go on then.
And it's about baristas from the coffee shops that we all love.
All right.
Baristas, setting the scene. Baristas, dishing out cream. Baristas, pumping all the levers and the gears of baristing machines. Baristas, dripping with sweat. Baristas, getting me wet. Every fucker wants to be a sister or a Mr. Barista. Baristas, got it all going on. Baristas, got me singing the song. Gonna win the lotto so I can buy myself my own barista. Yeah.
All right, so you intend to buy someone, do you, Andy? You intend to purchase...
Well, it's a dream, isn't it?
Songs should be about dreams, do you know what I mean? Or dreams that have been realised, like this song. Oh, he's from Uruguay, oh, made the Macums all cry, that's Stuani. I just wanted to know, Andy, I consider you to be far more intelligent than me, so occasionally I ask you to clear things up for me, all right?
Yeah.
So it's important to me. Do you have any idea what living in the moment means? Because I haven't got a clue.
You just did it there.
What do you mean?
You lived in the moment there, and you've just done it there.
No, that's...
And we're doing it now.
That's just living.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it means. Who's been saying that to you?
You hear it all the time, people on the telly, or people just saying, you know, well, it's important that I just live in the moment. You've got to try living in the moment, you know.
I don't really know
what that means.
I think it means that they haven't really got much going on and they're trying to make it sound like they have.
Oh, all right, well, that's a dead end again. Carry on, what do you want to do?
Yes or no?
Go on then, I'm more than willing to participate.
Here we go, three for you to choose from.
Thank you.
Yes or no, hummus.
Okay, I have to say, sorry.
You have to say yes or no, hummus.
No.
The Tex-Mex dip selection.
No.
Men's arses.
No.
2 out of 3.
Yeah.
And the good thing about getting 2 out of 3 is you can work out in your mind which one you got right and which ones you got wrong.
Okay, well, I can't be bothered to do that. Are you ready to receive the wife's questions? Because she's...
Bring them on.
She was up all night getting them ready, all right?
Bring them on.
Have you ever been to a beef eater restaurant in a suit and tie?
I have been to a beef eater restaurant, but I dressed smart casual.
Okay. Can I, as a supplementary question, I'm sure the wife wouldn't mind, what is it about the carvery that we all adore, Andy? Is it the queuing, the proximity to beer, the getting out of the house, being nosy about the other people? What is it like?
For me, it's many things. It's that kind of community spirit that you sort of touched upon there.
Yeah.
Getting among your people.
Yeah.
It's the you know, the proximity of beer, that helps.
Yeah.
It's the quick and easy access to hot meat for me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you don't go in there, look at the menu, hang about for 30 minutes while they come and take your order and all that. You just get up there, get your hot plate, get your meat on it, and your gravy and all your other stuff.
It's nice seeing what other people choose as well, isn't it? That's good fun.
Is it?
I think so.
What? What, from the vegetable selection?
It's just nice seeing, like, there's a lady in front of you, you know, maybe got quite pale skin, and potentially it's a wig, you just don't know. And you can think to yourself, she's going for that gammon, that lass. And then she'll surprise you and say, I know I'm vegetarian or whatever. But, I mean, you're enjoying the queue, proximity to beer, you get out your house, don't you?
Yeah.
Value for money, returning home to a tidy kitchen, that's part of it, isn't it?
It's got the lot, hasn't it, really, the carvery?
Well, what I'm going to choose the general nosiness of lunchtime eating. It's a very specific clientele, the carvery clientele, and I think they're great to look at. But you chose the presence of free meat, then that's fine. I agree, that's fine.
Well, I think there's many reasons. Have you ever done a solo carvery, Bob?
Well, I've gone into a carvery myself.
On your own?
No, I've never done that.
I have.
Oh, I bet you have.
It's quite a buzz.
So, what goes on solo? I suppose you don't give a shit. You just get what you want.
There's no conversation. But like I say, you don't need to have time to have conversation. You get in there, get up, get your stuff, sit down, eat it, piss off again.
Yeah. Nice one.
There's no messing about. It's not for the faint-hearted.
So
And the other thing about it is, as well, the staff are kind of thinking, is this fella a restaurant critic?
Yeah, because you look...
Is he here from Carvery News?
Because you look like a restaurant critic, you know, up from London, like. You do look like one. I bet they shit themselves. I don't think they're shitting themselves because they think you're a restaurant critic. I think they're shitting themselves because they think you're going to eat the old fucking buffet, to be honest with you.
Well, it's their fault for coming up with all-you-can-eat offer, isn't it?
Their fault, always someone else's fault with you, Andy. Right, second question from the wife. When was the last time you had friends around your bungalow, and what did you do?
The last time I had friends round was probably about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we sat in the garden of the bungalow.
Yeah.
On the garden furniture that I got from B&M Bargains.
Yeah.
And we just had a few drinks and some nice chat.
You had a little chat. You and the fellas have a nice little chat.
Me and a couple of the fellas. The gang.
Yeah.
The posse.
Did you have a right laugh together, yeah?
It was a really good laugh.
A few beers.
No one got out of hand. No one started chucking bottles around or out like that. You know, we're middle-aged men now. We're quite sophisticated. No one started doing forward rolls in the middle of the garden or anything, you know, silly.
Okay. Did you have a barbecue?
No, we had a pizza.
Pizza and just your cheap lager from Asda,
pizza and some San Miguel. Yeah.
Okay, Andy, final question. Deep down, do you wish you were actually called Callum?
Callum Dawson.
It's not bad, is it?
Not really, no.
Okay, well, that's the end of the questions. Over to you, Andy.
I came across a fella called Neville last night, a young man called Neville.
I came across this fella called Neville. Whoops, I said, didn't mean to do that. Is that what you're getting at?
No.
All right.
That's just the end of it. I'm just pointing out that it's not a very popular name these days.
No, it isn't. So Quasimodo goes into a bar and asks for a glass of whiskey. Bells, all right, says the barman. Mind your own fucking business, says Quasimodo. The barman's so shocked his brass hand falls into the sink. Any good? Bit of observation coming, any good?
That's all right.
I offered the old lady next door £10 for a go on a Stanner stairlift. Hopefully she's going to take me up on it. Did you get it? Hopefully she's going to take me up on it. The offer, as it
were.
Hopefully she's going to take me up on it.
Right.
You know, right to the top and I can rattle me brass hand on the banister.
Right.
Oh,
yeah. Right, what you've done there...
So I've done something wrong, haven't I?
What you've done is you've returned to the poor quality joke format that you had earlier in this series of podcasts.
Right.
That nobody really liked.
Right.
You've done that in the observational comedy voice.
Yes.
And then you've just shoehorned some kind of lazy brass hand reference onto the end.
It's a fuck off, isn't it?
A nightmare.
Well, look, this was the other one. I think this might be worse. What did one lawyer say to the other lawyer? Hello, mate, I'm a lawyer. I see you use Pearson's brass hand wax just like me. We should be friends until death. Any good? Any good?
It's more of a short play, that.
Yeah.
Than a joke.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Combined with a sponsorship thing for Pearson's brass hand oil.
Oh, it's the best brass hand oil. Oh, I'm absolutely fine advocating it, Andy.
Yeah, I've got some observational comedy. See what you reckon of this.
All right.
Hey, listen. You'll never believe what I saw yesterday.
Well, you're never going to find out, so piss off.
No, that's shit.
Is it?
Yeah, honest, Andy, that's terrible.
All right, okay, here we are. Hey, listen, I tell you what you don't hear much of these days. The Falklands War from the 1980s. We can't be doing very well in that if they never talk about it on the news anymore. I mean, am I right?
Yeah, I quite like that. I love the bit at the end there. Am I right?
Ah, oh, that's a good one. That's a good recurring one, isn't it? It's one more. Listen, listen, man, listen. I got one of them memory sticks the other day. Spent 5 hours saying all my memories into it, and now I can't get them out again. I'd take it back to the shop, but I can't remember where I got it from. Hey?
Because the memory seems to be
the memory stick.
Yeah.
Yeah? That was the best of the three.
It's the best of the three, but I don't think it's observation comedy. What I'm going to do next week is I'm going to... You've told me the rules. I'm going to really concentrate. You know, collective memories, reminding people of them, because that's funny. And also that other little area you told me about where you just literally sort of say, you know, do you remember, or have you ever... As long as you can say, have you ever noticed, or do you remember, you know, you might be onto something.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Mark Lawrenson, Andy.
Mark Lawrenson?
Mark Lawrenson. I have had such a lucky break this week. I've found someone, I've got a contact who can give me all the gossip on Mark Lawrenson.
Oh.
So, here you go.
Let's have it then. Yeah. What do you know?
I don't know if you know. I actually knew. Did you know that he's got a real passion for pest control, Mark?
I didn't know that.
No, he doesn't like the football, but he loves it. One of his brothers is in pest control, and he always thinks, I wish I'd done it anyway. So, Michael Owen phoned him up and asked if he would come over and do a pest check on his new restaurant in Manchester. It was opening for a press night. It's a beautiful... Michael Owen, you know, the footballer.
Yeah,
great,
yeah.
Big old Georgian building. Used to be part of the zoo in Manchester, I think. Massive place, real posh restaurant. Anyway, he wanted it checked because if there was problems, he didn't want it getting in the papers, you know, and he knew he could trust Mark, like.
Press night.
Exactly. So Mark turns up with his kit. He's got traps, sprays, sticky sheets, you know.
Yeah.
Do you have sticky sheets sometimes?
Weaponry?
Andy, do you have sticky...
At this time of year, yeah.
Goggles, gloves that go right up to your neck, all the good pest controller kit, right? He went into the kitchen, it's the main area to look for, and he turns on the lights, it's dark in there. Just as he went in, he thought he saw a massive bloke, some big bloke scuttle off through the fire exit, but he thought it's probably a homeless person on the rob or something like that. Anyway, he does what you have to do, he checks the cookers, all the nooks and crannies, looking for droppings, eggs, all that sort of stuff, do you know what I mean?
All the telltale signs,
all for pests and that. He's probably looking for roaches and ants, mice droppings, all that stuff. The only things he found a little bit of thick brown hair, quite a lot of dirty footprints, which it's an environmental health thing, but he thought he'd tell Michael.
What size were the footprints? Boot footprints.
I suppose, yeah.
Human boot.
One thing just near the door, a great big pile of quite dark tod, yeah. A bit of blood was...
Stop pinging.
A bit of plus my testicles. A bit of blood was smeared on the floor. Probably that's the homeless bloke, he reckoned. But the thing is food-wise, I tell you, the only thing he saw, there was an open jar of honey on one of the surfaces. Should have been.
Hang on. Whoa, just stop you there.
Yeah.
So Lawrenson is just turning a blind eye to the presence of homeless Todd.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, hold on.
Because he's just dealing in pests.
Look, pest-wise, he was able to give it 100% clean bill of health. Yeah. But he told...
Did he even mention the Todd?
No, of course he told Michael about the honey being left out and the footprints, the blood and all that. So they're having a little chat. He's giving it the all clear. He says to Michael, what are you calling this restaurant? I see the sign writers are here. And he says, Moe's, you know, like M-O-S, Moe's.
Yeah.
Because you know, M and O are same as his name, like Michael Owen's place.
Good that.
And Mark says, hey, Michael, don't do it. Right, because for one, it's like the bar in The Simpsons, and that's fun, but it's a really serious restaurant, this. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It'd be the wrong vibe. And second, I'm a bit worried it's like a short form of motherfucker, you know, Moe. Do you know what I mean?
I like Moe for.
Yeah, he says, I don't like that, Michael.
Did Mark Lawrenson say motherfucker?
Oh, well, he
Michael Owen.
He swears, don't worry about
motherfucker.
It.
Motherfucker. Sounds a little bit like motherfucker, Michael.
You should be doing the Mark Lawrenson stories. I didn't know. So anyway, he says, Michael says, shit, I don't know, Mark, it's a bit late in the day. The sign writers are here, the menus are printed. And he says, Mike, that can be sorted in half an hour. The name's going to stick forever. Come on, it needs to be a name that sums up, like, you, your essence. What do you believe in, Michael? What do you stand for? He says, I don't know, really. I like helicopters. I like Dubai. I like leather furniture. I like betting. I like my side party. He says, oh, Michael, honestly, man, when I think of you, like, I think of inspirational, yeah? Integrity. Style, you know what I mean? Sophistication.
We all do, yeah.
You know, use those words. They got, you know, use them somehow in your name. And anyway, it's 100 quid for the pest thing. Don't forget to clean that stuff up in the kitchen. Press night later on, all the paparazzi are there. And you've got Rio Ferdinand's there, Gary Barlow, Dynamo the Magician, Lizzie Cundy. Ken Morley, Reza Ruddock are all there.
Ken Loach.
You weren't there, couldn't make it. Michael stands in front of the big restaurant window, ready to unveil the curtain, you know. And he goes, ladies and gentlemen, my restaurant stands for inspiration, sophistication, integrity and style. So here goes, I pronounce the restaurant open. He pulls down the curtain. There in massive letters is ISIS, ISIS. He's called his restaurant ISIS, right? So there's a big intake of breath. A camera start flashing. No, says Michael, it's inspiration, style, integrity. It's not the terrorist thingy. And just as he's speaking, Andy, I guess it was just as he's speaking, the window smashes to pieces and out runs a fucking great big brown bear, right? It roars, it sniffs the air and then runs straight at Gary Barlow and punches him in his tits before disappearing into the back streets of Didsbury. So, think about
it. You did mention that the restaurant was situated on a former part of Manchester Zoo, didn't you?
That's right.
So what we've got there is a remnant.
If you think about it,
the zoo.
The big black pile of black tod, the honey. If you remember the honey.
All the telltale signs were there, weren't they?
So Mark's messed up big time. What he's done, he's looked at the detail, the droppings and stuff, and not the bigger picture. It should have been obvious, shouldn't it? Eh? The brown hair, the honey.
It's a massive oversight.
He missed it all.
He thinks he's a pest expert in the animal, you know, kingdom.
Yeah.
And he's just dropped a massive bollock.
He's missed a fucking bear. So a terrible night for Michael and for all the Manchester restaurant clique,
and
really.
For Mark's reputation.
Yeah, so that was interesting. So I hope my contacts will keep providing me with stuff about him.
Yeah, that'll be really good.
Which ice lolly has given you most pleasure this summer, Andy? Nobbly Bobbly, Fab, Calippo, Magnum? I bet it's the big giant blue ice pop, don't you?
I love a cola ice pop, yeah. But no. It would be the Rocket Lolly.
The Rocket Lolly?
The Rocket Lolly just from Asda.
Oh, is it just...
Asda own brand.
It's just shaped like a lolly, three flavours.
Like a rocket, different colours, red, yellow, and I think red again at the bottom.
I think I might go for that because...
Loads of sugar.
Used to be called the Zoom. Do you remember the Zoom? Do they still make it?
It's like the Zoom, yeah. But loads of sugar. You could just drift off into a coma after you've had a couple of them.
Oh, beautiful.
Well, you know, you want to with this time of year, don't you?
Yeah, with your mates on your cheap chairs.
A nice summer coma.
Yeah, behind the bungalow.
Getting high on rocket lollies.
I've got a little update on Steve McLaren. Do you want me to do that now, or...?
I think we should do that now and get that out of the way, because I'm sure a lot of people want to know how Casper is.
Okay. So I'll be as quick as I can.
Please do.
Okay, so Steve's been by Casper all day and all night this last...
Vigil.
Yeah, sleep. He slept in the waiting room, which incidentally, it's nice. He had some nice moments as well because he slept quite well in the waiting room. So he thought to himself, that is yet another victory for the comfort fit short sleeve shirt. He thinks to himself, because I bet Big Sam couldn't have slept on this bench in his slim fit long sleeve. Well, at least he would never have been able to sleep on his side like I did. And a little smile for him. So there was nice moments as well.
Yeah.
But pretty fitful sleeping. The main thing that's going around his head is, you know, it can only have been one person who kicked Casper and put him on that surface next to the Home Pride flower jar. It's got to have been a fat lass, and it's really worrying him. Anyway, so yesterday he was woken up, or the day before, anyway, I can't remember, yesterday or the day before, he was woken up by the cleaner really early. The cleaner says, you've got something on your head, mate, a mouse, a fur ball your cat's brought up or something. He says, no, don't be daft, it's me hair island. It's my hair island. Well, the vet doesn't actually open just yet for a couple of hours, so he thinks he'll pop home, get a change of comfort shirt and confront the fat lass about Casper, basically. He come back when the vet's had a chance to have a look at the snake, right?
Right.
So he drives back home, obviously in his clown car
The clown car.
Yeah, honking the big daft horn. Honk, honk, honk. Get out of my way, you silly Rodney Plonkers. Casper's on life support. Honk, 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 honk. Couple of people shout at him, what's that on top of your hair, mate? It's me hair island. And so on and so forth. So he gets home, runs straight to the kitchen, you know, where he left her. But the big girl's not there. Upstairs, she's not there. Thinks she'll be in the bathroom having a shit. She isn't. But his car isn't in the driveway, and he sees a note on the table in the hallway. So he grabs that, gets back in, has to go in his clown car because she's took the car. Back to the vets, it's not good, yeah? It is really not good. The internal abscess is still weeping, and the infection has spread to the cut where he was kicked. He hasn't been able to pass a tod at all.
Christ.
The vet explains to him, look, we can have Casper put down, or you could take him to the Royal Veterinary College Hospital. They've got an intensive care unit in North London. They might be able to serve him. What do you think he does? Do you think he hesitates?
Doesn't hesitate for a second.
Not for one fucking... Honestly, he's like, bang.
Casper round his neck, straight in the clown car.
Exactly, round his neck. Funnily enough, the nurse did wrap Casper up in like a special padded cotton tube. And Steve started to write Casper on the side of it. Then he thinks, oh, fuck off, Steve. Like, you don't know it's Casper. Do you know what I mean? His mind's not working properly. Straight in the clown car, sets off honking his horn. Ha, ha, ha. Help me where you, Rodney Plonkers. Gets on the M1, thinks I'm best off on the hard shoulder, right? People passing him. What's that on the top of your head, bird? It's me hair island. It's not long, of course, before he's pulled over by the coppers. The cop says, what are you doing, man? He said, I'm taking Casper at the hospital. Hold on. What's that on your fucking head, says one of the coppers. It's me hair, etc. And what is this clown capsule that you're driving on the motorway? Steve explains that it's based on the chassis, an engine of a Skoda Superb's got an MT and everything. Copper says, hold on a minute, you're that Broly man, aren't you? The England manager trying to get into retail carpet sales. He says, yes, officer. And he says, and you say your snake's sick? And he says, yeah, fat lass booted him. At this point, the copper notices bruises on Steve's arm. And the copper says, has this heavy lass been slapping you about a bit as well, sir? Steve, like, hesitates, and he says, yeah, a little bit, yeah. And then he breaks down. Steve starts crying. She's left me. He flops down against the steering wheel, and, of course, the boot flies off, because it's clown shot triggers it, flies up in the air and lands on the main carriageway, and a couple of cars crash into each other.
Jesus.
Like, copper reaches in to pull him upright and activates a lever, and smoke starts billowing out of the back of the car. You've got smoke drifting all across the motorway, and you can hear cars just smashing into each other every second or so. It's like, honestly, it's like a living... like something.
I'm laughing,
something like,
but it's not funny.
It ain't funny. Something like out of Walking the Dead or Waking the Dead or whatever it is.
It's the same thing, isn't it?
Anyway, Andy, I'm going to have to leave it there. Continue the tale next week, because I've seen the time. I want to go to the I want to go to the Middlesbrough Fulham match, so I'll have to leave Steve there on the hard shoulder.
Well, I've been hanging around with Jeremy Corbyn again, so I'll do that. But before I do that, can I just denounce the BBAC?
Yeah, I don't know who they are. What do they do?
It's the British Balloon and Airship Club.
Yeah, wankers. I find their
official bi-monthly journal Aerostat to be flimsy and lacking in substance. I don't see that many hot air balloons anymore. I used to see a lot more when I was younger. I think they're just wanking about, to be quite honest.
Okay, well, consider it done.
Consider them denounced.
BBAC.
BBAC, you're on my shit list.
Carry on, so tell me about Corbyn.
I've been to another one of his rallies this week, quite a local one down in Yarm, which is where Steve McLaren lives, I believe.
Yeah, of course, all the Borough football, isn't it?
That's not really relevant. So I turned up, got down early, down the front in all my red gear, head to toe in red, hat, shirt, tie, lipstick, all the stuff.
No, you didn't.
I did.
You didn't have lipstick on then, Mike.
Anyway, down the front, so Corbyn comes on. He does a tight 10 minutes about the evils of CCTV on trains.
Okay.
And how footage can be manipulated.
Right.
You know, got quite into it.
Yeah.
PowerPoint thing, but you know, just a bit distracting, but never mind. Then the lights all went off. And we all sang Money's Too Tight to Mention.
That's right. Nice.
Simply Red song.
Yeah.
Now, it sounded to me like Mick Hucknall was singing it.
Yeah.
But the lights were off, so I couldn't see. Right, I'm just assuming it was Corbyn just doing a Hucknall impression.
Yeah.
Anyway, then time for a break, so I nip round the back, get a fag, and he comes out the fire exit. Here he is, Corbyn. Stands next to me, lights up. He's got a roll up this week.
Oh, smoking shit. A rollie. Not a pipe.
Not a pipe this week. So he says, seen you.
Yeah.
I says, all right. He says, seen you. Down the front. Seen you. Fancy yourself, don't you?
Attitude.
He says, well, I do. So, you know, I says, well, a little bit, yeah. And he points at me red rosette that I've got on. He says, official rosette, is it? I says, well, I'm not sure. I've had it for ages. You know, I've not worn it at an official party event for years, though. He says, thought so. Thought as much. Thought it looked a bit weathered. I says, well, sorry, should I get a new one? You know, is there any official ones that you set me up with? He says, well, I have a merchandising operation. I could get you one at a reduced price if you'd be interested. So I says, wow, yeah, great. Thanks. You know, if there's anything I can do in return, you know, to help with your election, let us know, because I'm becoming a serious convert to the Corbynista cause. And he says, there might be one thing you could help me with.
Here it comes.
I thought, oh, aye. So he pulls his tab out of his mouth, and his bottom lip slowly parts from the top one. He reaches across and he just brushes me rosette with the back of his hand.
Oh, hey up, is this in a...
And he says, it gets lonely on the campaign trail, you know. I'm always on the road, and I start to miss Mrs. Corbyn when it's almost bedtime.
Hmm.
I says, I can imagine that, yeah. So he says, do you think you could possibly proffer a small kiss?
Oh, he's a kisser.
To alleviate my emotional turbulence? And I thought, well, you know, given what you and the alderman get up to, it's legitimised.
He's not a bad-looking fellow, I suppose.
I've started to become quite a fan over the past few weeks. I thought, you know, a little kiss is not going to hurt.
No harm in that.
So I moved my mouth slowly towards his, and I just felt my chin graze against his beard as we got closer.
Yeah.
Just as we're about to kiss, there's a bang, and I jump back. Yeah. Someone's booted the fire exit.
Shit. Out,
and this voice goes, no! Andrew, no! Not during a democratic electoral process, Andrew! Jeremy, back inside and address your followers at once! Fuck.
Who are you saying it is?
It's the alderman.
Fuck off.
It's your alderman.
What do you mean?
I'm in Yarm, aren't I? I'm in Yarm. Well, it's your patch.
He wouldn't give a shit if you were having a kiss. What was it? I don't understand.
Well, I don't know. It happened.
What, you've been sniffing around the alderman?
No, I'm sniffing around Corbyn. I've got nothing with the alderman.
So what happened then?
Corbyn goes back in. Don't get upset. Just let us explain.
Yeah.
Jesus. Right, so the alderman's still there. Corbyn's gone back in. And I'm panicking. I'm saying, sorry, look, I don't have any major involvement at constituency level. I'm not up to speed with the etiquette. It wasn't supposed to happen. And the alderman says, I can teach you all about the etiquette, Andrew. Especially as I'm not standing for office myself. And I thought, well, it's an opportunity to learn something's a good thing. That'd be wonderful. And he says, Now, it looks to me as though you're in possession of a pair of lips that just thought they were about to be kissed. Come over to me, Andrew.
You didn't.
Come now.
You better not have.
And he cupped his hands around my face.
No, he never.
And just gently brushed his lips against mine.
Oh, as if, Andrew.
And just held them there for a couple of seconds and then pulled away. And honest Jesus, Bob.
You kissed him? You kissed him?
My entire body turned to jelly.
Oh, I'm not happy with this, Andy.
I felt as though...
He's nothing to do with you, the alderman. No, I'm off. Sorry. No, it's upset me, that.
No, but... Bob. Bob.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.